This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon, except today it's a HUNA afternoon, and we are here in the Esther Greenwald Library at HUNA City Schools. I want to remind folks that Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. My next guests include Frank Wright, who we just met, president of the board of directors of the HUNA Indian Association of Fishermen, among other things. We've been joined by Amelia Wilson. She is the executive director of HUNA Heritage Foundation. She's also the vice mayor and part of the Alaska Native Sisterhood. Amelia, welcome to the show. Gunashchish.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And we also have Tyler Hickman, vice president of operations for Icy Strait Point. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Amelia, can we start with you? Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Klagunkyu khat duasak, klinkit kenach, chukinsha khat ziti, kachari yadi ayachat, Irish Dutch khan, gunachchish khat yadi. My klinkit name is Klagunk. I'm a member of the Chukinadi clan. I'm a child of the kachari and a grandchild of the Irish, and I thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, and thank you for allowing us to be here. So you wear many hats here in the community of HUNA. Why don't you tell us about one of them?
Well, I serve as the executive director for HUNA Heritage, which I absolutely love, and the focus of our organization is culture and education for current and future generations. And so that job provides me many opportunities to do the things that I love and to help foster opportunities for those of us interested in learning more about our Tlingit culture and opportunities within the community, as well as supporting our youth and their desire for continued education, whether that be college, vocational, or cultural learning opportunities.
And what's a project you're working on right now? What's an example?
Well, tomorrow, actually, we will be going out to Harvest Devil's Club as part of a community class to learn how to make Devil's Club tea. There are many medicinal and traditional purposes for Devil's Club harvest, and so I'm coordinating that for the community as well as for myself. I also am going to be a student because I also don't know how to make tea.
Frank Wright, when you hear about individuals in your community going out to gather Devil's Club, what does it make you think of?
I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, there's so many things that I don't know about this, what they're doing in traditional. I think that it's great opportunity because I think my wife's going to be involved in it too, I think.
Yes.
She said she was going to go. So I think that she's interested in all the time. Anything that she can learn, she tries to pick it up. You know, and you know, I taught her how to do gumboots, and I taught her how to do cockles and seal and dried fish and all that kind of stuff. So, it's she's a urban person, but she moved to HUNA with me. So, here she is, being a Tlingit person.
All right, thank you. Tyler Hickman, tell us about a day in the life of you, and tell us what Icy Strait Point is.
Well, Icy Strait Point is North America's only private cruise ship destination, and the uniqueness of what we are in the industry is really strong. And if for those of you that may have been on a cruise anywhere in the world, most of the time when the cruise ships arrive, they arrive to cities, they arrive to industrial ports, they arrive to very, very populated places. And when cruise ships arrive to Icy Strait Point, and we're a mile and a half from the town of HUNA, population 760, and the forest just jumps out at you, the nature just jumps out at you, and the fact that it is privately owned allows the guests to come ashore in just a very peaceful way. You know, you go to many cities, and whether you get off a cruise ship or not, there's people competing for your interest, saying, go here, buy this, you know, eat in my restaurant, shop in my store, go on my tour. And at Icy Strait Point, guests can come ashore without that, and with nature and culture out in front of what we do.
And what year was Icy Strait Point built?
Icy Strait Point opened to the cruise industry in May of 2004. So last year we completed our 15th season, which was very, very exciting. And our season starts up in just 9 days with Holland America Westerdam.
Okay. Amelia Wilson, thinking about tourists coming here to Huna, how does that make you feel?
I think as a community member and member of the city council, it really means opportunity for our community and economic prosperity. I see a lot of communities within Alaska that are really struggling economically, and I feel that Huna has a very balanced subsistence and cash economy, and Icy Strait Point really helps with our cash economy.
Okay. Frank Wright, your classmate Gordon Greenwald, I read a quote somewhere where he said at first he was skeptical about Icy Strait Point, but then sometimes he'll be in his carving shed and a tourist will walk up and be interested in what he's doing, and he likes the tourism now. Do you agree with him?
I agree with him in a way that, you know, for the economy, we got a lot of employment for people, you know, and like I said before, that for the young people, it's a good thing, you know. And one thing I know about the tourism, because I live on Front Street, you know, and so I see if I'm around, I see everybody going back and forth, you know, and, you know, that when I outside the tours, the people that are off the ships always say, don't change a thing. This is what we want, you know, because sometimes there's whales that are right out in front of my house there, and if anything changed, I think it would hurt the business. Maybe not hurt it, but they wouldn't be people wouldn't be as satisfied as what, you know. Some people come from New Zealand, come from middle of the United States, and like to see the tide come up and down. You know, my kids live in Missouri, and when they came here, they were on a beach throwing rocks. I said, well, I'm throwing rocks in the water. And I said, man, if you want to have a landfill, just to put my kids on the beach and I'll fill it up. So they had a blast, you know. When they were from Missouri, they have a blast. You know, people love the place. They said, no T-shirt shops, no jewelry shops. You know, I have a smokehouse behind my house there, and there was one person asked me, says, do you have anything in there? I said, no. Can I look in there? I said, I don't have anything in there. They thought I had a smokehouse back there, and they just kept bugging me about going back looking at my smokehouse. So that's what they want to see, you know. And I was chopping wood back there, and there was some elders that were just going like that to me, you know, looking at me like I'm an elder, and just thinking that it was pretty cool. I'm still chopping wood, you know, so look like some Filipino ladies or something. Look, just excited.
Amelia, let's say if you meet one of those people from Missouri or New Zealand and they ask you about why you love living here in Huna, what are some of the things that keep you busy that you love about living here?
Well, I've lived in the interior of Alaska for a number of years, and I've experienced tourists visiting in the Fairbanks area, and I think that when you think about coming to Alaska, what you picture in your mind is Southeast Alaska, and in particular Huna, where you're surrounded by mountains, ocean, wildlife, rich culture, and we have a saying around here that when the tide is out, the table is set. Because there's so many opportunities to gather foods, which I love, and Frank was mentioning some of those. So we can go out and gather, and it's not only delicious and nutritional. It's a part of our way of life. And so I really enjoy the opportunities to be able to eat off the land, live off the land, to be connected to our environment, not surrounded by concrete confines. We've got mountains and beauty, literally living in the postcard of what you think. I enjoy being out on the water. I just have a small skiff, but being out on the water is one of my favorite pastimes. We also have a couple hundred miles of accessible logging roads that provide access throughout the island. And so that's a favorite pastime among locals, to go out and experience the wildlife. We have many bears, brown bears here on the island. And so seeing bears near and far is just beautiful. People from all over the world pay a lot of money to come see those, and we get to see them all the time. As well as deer, and the whales were mentioned. So really it's just a beautiful place, and it's a small knit community with really strong cultural connections. And so it's just a really great place to live. People wave and smile at each other, and we all know each other and support each other in times of hardship, and come together to celebrate good times.
Thank you. Tyler Hickman, some communities in the world have been overcome by tourism, let's say. From your point of view as a business operator, is there a way that we can keep tourism sustainable and enjoyable? And I've heard keep things sort of the way they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Frank was just saying a minute ago is really, really important. When the guests come and have this real authentic experience, that makes them want to come back. And when they come and they walk, to downtown Hoonah, that's what they get, and they very much appreciate it. And we as a business need to keep our finger on the pulse of what the community says. I mean, how much is too much isn't really my decision. It's more about us listening and finding a way for it to work for everybody. It's the cruise industry is expanding at incredible rates, and at the rate that the companies are building ships, they need a place to send them. And a lot of it, I think, isn't necessarily — I hear a lot of other businesses talking about, okay, Juneau has 1.5 million. Is 1.5 million too much, or that type of thing? And I don't know if it's the big number that we want to look at. I think it's more about what's the daily number. What is the capacity of any given place, city, where the experience is real? Because us delivering an authentic experience is of the utmost importance, and we are committed to doing that. And in our projects, as we build our second cruise ship dock, we're not stacking it on top of the other one. It's being built a half a mile away. Hoonah Totem has some just unbelievably beautiful land, and we have the opportunity to develop in a responsible, respectful way that we can spread people out and give the guests their own little piece of Alaska that is out and, that keeps the wilderness out front.
All right. Thank you, Tyler. Amelia, I just asked you about sort of the bonuses and the great stuff about living in Hoonah. What are some of the challenges?
I'd say when you're wanting to fly out and the weather doesn't cooperate, living on an island can pose those challenges. I think that, like many small communities, there's also a housing shortage, and employment opportunities can be difficult. And so I think that looking at those areas as a city government and community are things that we're trying to collectively address, so that we can promote opportunities for people who are from Hoonah who would like to return home.
Okay, thank you. Tyler, I already asked Frank earlier about his hope for the future of Hoonah. What is your hope for the future of Hoonah?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that keeping it real, keeping it authentic, making sure that the voice of the people of Huna is always heard and out front, and just communication that everybody continues. And we've got great partnerships with the city of Huna, with Huna Indian Association, and everybody has a very respectful and continuous dialogue. And my hope is that continues as the faces change in the industry, as they change on the city council, as they change in the mayor, that and all the other businesses, that the communication continues. And if that happens, everything's going to be great.
Amelia Wilson, hopes for the future?
I would just like to reiterate culture, the Tlingit culture, and I think that if we can continue to strengthen culturally, that will serve our community well, in addition to just becoming more united as a community, and that any great movements or efforts have been the result of people working together.
Okay. And Frank Wright, you shared your hopes for the future. Any other thoughts to share with our listeners here about life in Huna?
Well, I think, you know, there's a word called Wuschi'in, which means that, you know, working together, you know, and only way anything's going to keep working is if everybody talks with each other and is able to, you know, say, no, that's wrong, or that's right, and then we can, if it's wrong, then let's see if we can work together to fix it, because otherwise, when you don't talk with each other, things go wrong. And then you got one part of your community again upset with you, and it's not the way it's going to work. So the word Wuschi'in means it makes a lot of sense in everything that we do here. And the future of this community is all about the people that are here. You know, so because everything that we do is for the people. You know, like I said, you know, you got young people that are just happy to go to work. You know, I know a kid that just couldn't wait to go to work. You know, so and it's and when you build character by having young people go to work, and you know they feel good about this is my dollar, I earned it. You know, and if they can help their family out too, you know, because when I was growing up, I went fishing, but you know, some of the money I made, we just put it into the family. You know, we used to take the boat to Juneau, get all the groceries, and come back. You know, and we just put our money into that. You know, so young people that are doing this work and in this community is awesome. I think that this community can keep moving on as long as we work together.
Ganesh Cheesh, that's Frank Wright, president of the board of directors of the Huna Indian Association and a fisherman. Among other things, we've been speaking also with Tyler Hickman, vice president of operations for Icy Strait Point, and Amelia Wilson, executive director of Huna Heritage Foundation, also the vice mayor and part of the Alaska Native Sisterhood. Ganesh Cheesh, Amelia, for being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Frank Ganesh Cheesh, thank you. Tyler, thank you, Ganesh Cheesh, for being on the show today. That's all the time we have for today. We want to thank Huna and all of today's guests. Tune in tomorrow as we meet more educators, artists, elders, and culture bearers as we get to know the community of Huna. To re-listen to this program, go to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.